白宫重申将联合盟友应对中国。美国安顾问表示，中国未充分配合调查新冠病毒起源。NASA 公布毅力号登陆火星影片。
2月23号星期二，欢迎收看美国观察，我是卡拉。白宫在美国时间周一重申了联合盟友应对中国的战略，同时拜登总统也宣布新的优惠贷款措施，救助受到疫情影响的美国小企业。详细情况我们请美国之音记者文浩来介绍。文浩。
是的，卡拉。那么白宫发言人沙奇是在周一的白宫记者会上回应了中国外交部长王毅在今天早些时候呼吁美中关系重回正轨，并且取消对中国产品施加关税的言论。那沙奇是没有透露是否会调整前总统特朗普时期施加的关税，只是重申说呢，白宫将保持联合盟友应对中国的战略。
We believe the relationship with China is one of strong competition. We want to come to that relationship from a position of strength. That means working in close coordination with our partners and allies around the world, Europeans, other partners in the region, also with Democrats and Republicans in Congress. And it also means we want to do work at home and focus on doing work at home to make sure we are coming to that from a position of strength. As you noted, there's, of course, a review of our tariffs and the tariffs that were put in place. I don't have any update on that at this point in time.
那么除此之外呢，白宫和拜登总统都是周一主要是把重点放在了新冠疫情上。那拜登总统今天是宣布从本周三起，在接下来的两个星期里，只有雇员少于20人的小企业可以申请联邦政府的薪资保护计划，是保证最有需要的小企业可以得到援助。
These changes will bring much needed long overdue to help to small businesses who really need help staying open, maintaining jobs and making ends meet. And this is a starting point, not the ending point. We need Congress to pass my American Rescue Plan. It
deals...美国财政部的薪资保护计划是为了帮助美国的小企业维持给雇员的薪资，并且支付相关的管理费用。那么自从新冠疫情在美国开始以来呢，在商业领域受到打击最大的就是小型企业。拜登总统和白宫的一些官员近来都是表示说，从去年开始的第一轮薪资保护计划，虽然说拯救了很多小企业，但是遗漏了不少由少数族裔和家庭经营的小商家，反而是一些上市公司、连锁店和资金雄厚的小企业率先获得了贷款。那国会的两党人士是均对此表示了关切。那么拜登总统是说，今天宣布的措施就是为了纠正这一现象。那他同时也是呼吁国会尽快通过他的美国救援方案，给予小企业更多的帮助。那么在另外一场记者会上呢，白宫的新冠应对小组是更新了拜登政府的抗击疫情的最新进展。那么小组的资深顾问斯拉维特是说呢，由于上周美国大范围的风雪天气而导致的延迟运送的疫苗将在本周三左右全部运送到位。疾病控制与预防中心接下来将会举办全国性的疫苗论坛来讨论疫苗接种的程序。那么疾控中心主任瓦伦斯基是说呢，保证全美的学校安全开放是目前的首要任务之一。那么他是透露说，他们已经在和教育部在这方面展开了紧密合作。瓦伦斯基还说呢，美国的疫情无论是在新增病例还是新增死亡数字上都在呈现好转的趋势。不过因为新冠而死亡的总人数在美国是已经超过了50万人。拜登总统和夫人吉尔拜登、副总统哈里斯和他的丈夫道格艾姆霍夫呢，是将在周一晚上6点在白宫举行烛光悼念仪式，纪念因为疫情而离世的美国人。那么拜登总统预计还会发表讲话。以上就是事态的最新发展，卡拉。
好的，感谢文浩的详细报道。白宫国家安全顾问杰克·沙利文星期天在哥伦比亚广播公司新闻节目中说，拜登政府目前无法准确判定新冠病毒究竟源自何方，部分原因是中国政府在这个问题上不够透明。 世界卫生组织仍然需要做出更多努力探究病毒的准确来源。在同一节目上，前白宫副国家安全顾问伯明也说，中国的独裁统治者不会对卫生官员们透明。虽然人们对新冠病毒的起源提出了许多问题，但世界卫生组织的研究人员不太可能会有答案。联合国人权理事会周二举行2021年首次高级别会议，联合国秘书长古特雷斯发表讲话，支持缅甸人民追求民主，并呼吁缅甸军方停止暴力，释放在押人员。
Today, I call on the Myanmar military to stop the repression immediately, release the prisoners, end the violence, respect human rights and the will of the people expressed in recent elections.Coups have no place in our modern world. I welcome the resolution of the Human Rights Council, pledged to implement your request and express my full support to the people of Myanmar in their pursuit of democracy, peace, human rights, and rule of law. And its security
responses.德国与英国的外交官员也分别就中国大规模侵犯人权的行为进行指责。德国外长马斯强调说，德国致力于维护世界人权宣言，不能接受中国对新疆维吾尔等少数族裔的任意拘押，以及中国在香港对公民自由的打压。
Our commitment to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights also leaves no room for the arbitrary detention of ethnic minorities like the Uyghurs in Xinjiang or China's crackdown on civil liberties in Hong Kong.And we have to highlight the growing restrictions imposed on civil society, whether in Iran, Venezuela, or elsewhere. And we will not be silent when peaceful protesters and opposition leaders are attacked and imprisoned, as has occurred in Belarus or Russia.
英国外交大臣拉布在联合国人权理事会上谴责中国新疆存在大规模的针对维吾尔穆斯林的虐待、强制劳动和绝育等行为。拉布还指出，香港人民的权利遭到有系统的侵犯。他呼吁香港举行公正、自由的立法会选举。
The situation in Xinjiang is beyond the pale. The reported abuses, which include torture, forced labor, and forced sterilization of women.are extreme and they are extensive. They're taking place on an industrial scale. It must be our collective duty to ensure that this does not go unanswered. UN mechanisms must respond. And we stand with the growing number of international partners, UN experts, NGOs concerned about the deteriorating human rights situation that we see in China. No one can ignore the evidence anymore.In Hong Kong, the rights of people are being systematically violated. The national security law is a clear breach of the Sino-British Joint Declaration and is having a chilling effect on personal freedoms. Free and fair legislative elections must take place with a range of opposition voices allowed to take part.
美国国家航空航天局星期一公布了火星探测车毅力号成功登陆的影片和一系列毅力号摄像头拍摄的照片。来看报道。
火星探测车毅力号上星期四成功登陆火星表面，它的任务是收集火星上岩石和土壤样本并带回地球，探索火星上的古老微生物生命证据。价值$27亿的毅力号在美国国家航空暨太空总署发射7个月后，以自动驾驶方式在火星上降落。星期一 ，NASA 在记者会上公布了毅力号降落的影片。毅力号上安装有25个相机镜头，其中7个用于拍摄降落情形。上周四，毅力号登陆火星几分钟后，即回传了第一张由其拍摄的火星景观照片。
This is just an amazing scene here. This is it. This is Mars. We're here in our place that we're going to be exploring over the next months and coming years. And it's just really exciting to see, you know, these scenes look familiar to us. You know, they look Earth-like in a sense. You know, you see the mountains back there and the rocks and things. It's just, really is the surface of an alien world, and we just arrived.
毅力号是2020年火星探测发射窗口期间执行的3个火星任务之一，其他2个包括上星期进入火星轨道的阿联酋火星探测器希望号和中国的天问一号。 美国 NASA 的毅力号率先实现成功着陆。美国之音新闻报道。
位于以色列的网络安全公司 Checkpoint 星期一在一份研究报告中说，中国间谍使用了与美国国家安全局有关的方程式组织开发的漏洞检测代码来支持他们的黑客行动。中国黑客组织 APT31 使用恶意软件提升攻击者在本地微软 Windows 环境中的权限。攻击者获得初始访问目标计算机的权限之后，他们就可以在已经受感染的计算机上为所欲为。美国共和党联邦众议员华尔兹日前接受美国之音专访，针对他最近提出抵制2022北京冬奥的决议案，表示北京不应享有主办奥运的殊荣和利益。华尔兹议员强调，新冠病毒大流行揭露了中共的本质，美中之间的抗衡是一场全政府的竞争。来看专访的完整内容。
Joining us today is Florida Congressman Michael Waltz. Thank you very much, Congressman Waltz, for speaking with Voice of America. On February 15th, you introduced a House resolution calling on the United States to boycott the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. The resolution pointing to various human rights violations, as well as censorship and cover-ups from the Chinese Communist Party. Can you share with us why you think it's so important for the United States to boycott the Games?
Well, I think the Games should be moved.I think the International Olympic Committee should move the games to another location. And actually, my colleague, Senator Rick Scott, has been asking the International Olympic Committee to move the games to another location for almost 2 years and has received nothing, silence in response. So unless the games are moved, I do think we should boycott the games, given the gross and indisputable cover-up.Of the coronavirus that has gone on now for the last year, the arrest of journalists, the arrest of doctors, Chinese doctors who have tried to sound the alarm, the refusal of the Chinese Communist Party to share relevant data with the World Health Organization and the CDC and other global health organizations. And then I think most disturbingly,the ongoing genocide that is going on in Western China with the Uyghur population, the mass internments, the reports of forced rape and sterilization that's going on. Given these human rights abuses and given that 180 international human rights organizations have also called for a boycott, I do not see how just 11 months from now we rewardthe Chinese Communist Party with the honor and with the benefit of hosting the Olympic Games and giving the party that international platformfor its ongoing cover-up and for its ongoing propaganda.
Yeah, these issues are very troubling for a lot of people. Do you think Biden administration will share your position or even take a staunch position on this? How about the U.S. athletes who have invested years in training for this special moment?
Well, my heart goes out for the athletes, and that's why I think the game should be moved. I hope the Biden administration, if they're serious about human rights, if they're serious about the freedoms,whether it is the freedom of religion, the freedom of assembly, the freedom of speech that are ensconced in our Constitution, that it'll take a leadership role in taking a stand with freedoms in Hong Kong, in Tibet, in Western China, with the Uyghurs, and with the over 2 million people around the world that have been killed by the coronavirus. We have to take a stand in line with our values.
Mm-hmm. Now the resolution has been introduced. Do you plan to make this a bipartisan effort or even an international one? And do you see a momentum is building for a successful boycott this time?
I'm in conversations with a number of Democrats who agree. Their preference, as is mine, that is that the International Olympic Committee move the games so that all of our athletes can compete. But they also agree that we can't just turn a blind eye.To genocide. We can't send our athletes there and put them in a position of just ignoring what's going on in China. And absolutely, actually, in terms of internationally, the leader of the Canadian Conservative Party, has also called for a boycott. Australian MPs have called for the same. They need to stop the ongoing genocide. So I do think this is going to be a global effort.
Mm-hmm. And let's move on to another issue, Huawei. So recently, Huawei's founder say that he hopes the new administration will take an open policy for the benefit of the U.S. business and also the economic development of the United States. You are a member of House China Task Force. What's your response to that? And is there a consensus in Congress across party lines about how the U.S. should deal with Huawei?
Well, there's a realization in Congress, and this is why the House China Task Force was so important. There's a realization that as long as Chairman Xi's laws stand in effect, and particularly the Chinese espionage law that requires any private sector company to provide the Communist Party with anything they are asked in terms of relevant data, that, you know, even a company that has the best intentions has no choice but to provide the authoritarian regime the data that it asks for. And as long as that's the case, I cannot in good conscience allow Huawei's infrastructure to harness and to possibly pass back to Beijing the world's global data. We just can't have that. We certainly can't have that inside the United States. And I don't see how we have a productive relationship with allies as long as they have that infrastructure, knowing that Huawei has to provide any data that it's asked for by the communist regime in Beijing.
Mm-hmm. Is this a consensus between two parties in Congress?
Well, there are certainly those, particularly on the Armed Services Committee, the Intelligence Committee, the Department of Homeland Security, with both Republicans and Democrats that understand, the threat that having that type of hardware and software inside our national infrastructure can provide. Yes, there is. There's consensus.
Mm-hmm. So next, the recent report shows China's financial markets are drawing record high chunks of global capital, particularly from U.S.-based investors. And the market are poised to keep growing. As more money flows to China's markets, its political leader will have a clear mechanism to increase the country's political power. In the area of finance, commerce, and high tech, do you think the process of economic decoupling with China has now come to an end after the change of administration?
Well, I certainly hope not. One of the things that that the coronavirus really uncovered here in the United States is that we have created such a dependency, whether it is for personal protective equipment, whether it's for masks, our pharmaceutical industry, rare earth minerals. You know, one of the things that I'm talking about with the Democrats is they want to move to more of a green economy, is our dependency on batteries. But China has kind of dominated almost 90% now of the world's lithium market. So we need to bring that manufacturing back home. We need to have more of a balance in terms of our manufacturing and our dependencies on these certain things. And, our investment market, our capital market, I think needs to get on board with that. I am all for capitalism. I am all for those having the ability to grow their businesses, but not when it's at the expense of our national security. And when you have, Chairman Xi openly talking about replacing the American dream with the China dream, and as long as that's an authoritarian model of governance, I can't support that.
In the remarks earlier this month, President Biden defined China as our most serious competitor. White House also expressed the intention to develop a comprehensive strategy to deal with the issues and the threats posed by China in consultation with the Congress. Have you ever had any opportunity to communicate with the administration with regard to China?
Well, not yet. We have some ongoing talks with Democrats in the Congress. I was encouraged to see Biden's Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, agree that what's going on in Western China is genocide. I'm encouraged to see President Biden's Pentagon establish a military task force focused on China competition. But, you know, I asked them, why is it just a military task force? We're talking about economic competition, unfair trade practices. You know, this is the theft of our IP out of our research institutions and our universities, the ongoing cyber attacks. This is much broader than just military. This is a whole of government competition.
If you can only give one suggestion or the top one priority for the dealing with China, what's your first one, top one issue?
It's the theft of our technology. We cannot continue to be a global leader espousing our values, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, when our technological edge is being outright stolen from our universities, from our research institutions, and from our businesses. The Chinese Communist Party is leapfrogging to the top globally by frankly, stealing American technology. And that's the thing that we have to take head on.
That concludes our conversation with Congressman Michael Waltz today. Thank you very much, Congressman Waltz, for your time and joining us today.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
来自纽约州的民主党籍众议员科特兹周末前往德克萨斯州，支持对德州居民的纾困行动。科特兹众议员批评德州供电基础设施出现问题，是因为没有推行他所倡导的绿色新政所致。但他的这一说法也受到了一些共和党人的质疑。
上周六，来自纽约的民主党籍众议员亚历山德里亚·奥卡西奥·科特兹出现在德州休斯顿的食物银行，与两位德州本地的民主党籍众议员一起向民众分发食物。上周罕见的严寒天气袭击了包括德州在内的美国大片区域，数百万德州居民的家中遭遇了长时间的断电和停水。
Disasters don't strike everyone equally. When you already have so many families in the state and across the country that are on the brink that can't even afford an emergency to begin with, when you have a disaster like this, it can justset people back for years, not just for days.
科特兹众议员是民主党中进步派的代表人物，因主张提高福利、推广新能源等政策，受到一些年轻选民的支持。他在行前已经在网上为德州募集捐款，资金将在德州本地的12个公益组织间平均分配，以帮助当地居民。
We hit $3.2 million in assistance for Texans across the state just last night.And I think this shows that New York stands with you, but the whole country stands with you.
一同参与活动的德州民主党籍众议员希尔维亚·加西亚批评了共和党执政的州政府在断电事件中的表现。
The response could be better, from our state leadership. It could have been better in preparation, and it better step up and be better.In giving a, doing a full independent investigation on why this incident happened, why they didn't weatherize, why didn't they prepare.
科特兹众议员也在推特批评称，德州在基础设施中出现的问题是由于没有推行绿色新政。绿色新政是科特兹众议员在2019年时参与提出的议案，主张在较短时间内实现温室气体净零排放。该法案并未在国会获得通过。一些共和党人称，德州断电事件的重要原因恰恰在于德州电力系统对于风能和太阳能过于依赖，而这些电力设施在严寒天气下不如传统能源设施可靠。美国之音新闻报道。
德克萨斯州共和党籍联邦参议员克鲁兹周末在当地积极参加义工活动，帮助灾后的救助恢复。上星期在德州遭遇罕见的严寒天气之际，克鲁兹出国度假的画面被媒体曝光，克鲁兹因此受到来自各界的批评。来看报道。
德州地方电视台星期天播放了克鲁兹参议员在休斯顿近郊的一处民宅参加灾后清洁工作的画面。房屋主人米基摩尔说，他是克鲁兹参议员多年的朋友， 摩尔认为公众舆论对克鲁兹的批评是不公正的。
I am really glad you guys are here because I felt the media needed to show this side of these people who are giving their time to me.
上个星期，德州遭遇严冬天气，上百万居民停水停电。克鲁兹参议员和家人前往墨西哥坎昆度假的画面，被媒体曝光后遭到了批评。尽管克鲁兹提前结束休假返回休斯敦，但是仍有多名民众在他的住宅前举行抗议。
What this is about is a man who's not interested in governing, he's interested in tearing the government apart. This man took his family to Cancun for a vacation while people were freezing, people's water was cut off.
克鲁兹参议员说，出国度假是一个错误的决定，但他同时表示不希望此事干扰德州的救灾工作。
And I didn't want all the screaming and yelling, about this trip to distract even one moment from the real issues that I think Texans care about, which is keeping all of our families safe.
克鲁兹参议员在2018年的中期选举中获得连任，他曾在2016年参加竞选总统。分析人士说，很难判断度假风波是否会对克鲁兹的政治前途造成持续的负面影响。
Texas is a solidly red state. Cruz won re-election in a close race a couple of years ago, but Texas, voted for Trump by a wide margin, re-elected its other senator, Cornyn by a wide margin. I don't know that the base of Cruz's supporters are going to be turned off by this.
本周日，克鲁兹参议员还在官方推特上发布了他向休斯敦地区的消防员和警察发放烤肉和瓶装水的照片。美国之音电视新闻。
美国国务院发言人普莱斯回应中国外交部长王毅对美国的批评，称中国依然在逃避责任。王毅周一称，美国对中国有严重的误解，呼吁美国调整对华政策，让两国关系重回正轨。普莱斯回应说，中国一贯在其错误上逃避责任，而美国对中国的政策将从实力优势出发，并且将联合全球盟友及伙伴国。
I think his comments reflect a continued pattern of Beijing's tendency to avert blame for its predatory economic practices, its lack of transparency, its failure to honor its international agreements, and its repression of universal human rights. We'll continue to stand up for our democratic values when human rights are being violated in Xinjiang, Tibet, or elsewhere in China, or when autonomy is being trampled in Hong Kong. You've heard us speak before about the way in which we will approach China and China through the prism of competition from a position of strength. And again, you have heard me say in this briefing that we will work closely with our allies and partners across the board. That's precisely what we're doing with the Quad. It's precisely what we're doing with our allies and partners in Europe. It's precisely what we're doing with our allies and partners in the Indo-Pacific to approach China from a position of strength.
以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们下次再见。